Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Family Gamers. This is episode number 12, and man, this year is flying by.
Yeah, it sure is. It's going to be Christmas before we know it.
Thanksgiving is next week.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I can't believe we're already halfway through November.
That's insane. So what we wanted to do, and we kind of mentioned this before, we were going to record earlier in the week with our friend from Ubisoft, but
there were some technical difficulties.
Yeah, she lost power. So that unfortunately did not work out. That is maybe why we missed a week. Sorry. But we are here now, and what we are going to do is we are going to talk about tabletop games, board games, or maybe some other stuff that isn't necessarily a game, but is fun things to do kind of with your kids that don't involve remote controls or televisions.
Yes, no screens of any kind. And things that make excellent gifts.
And things exactly that make great gifts for you to give to one of your kids or to a niece or to a nephew.
To the children in your life.
To the children in your life, exactly.
Even if those children are not really children anymore. The young at heart.
The young, like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
So that's what we're going to talk about this week. But as we do every week, first, we'll talk about what we've been doing.
Yeah. So we're almost done playing the kitchen remodel
game. Yay! Done enough that I've sent out pictures of it looking done.
It looks done to the untrained eye.
Yep.
What else? We actually, in part because we had technical difficulties, we had enough time to play multiple games over the last 2 weeks.
Been fantastic.
What have you been playing, Andrew?
Oh, I'm going first? You started talking, and then you're dropping the what have you been playing bomb on me.
I say that because, as far as video games, you've been playing one game.
Fallout 4.
A lot.
A lot of Fallout 4.
A lot of Fallout 4.
I've also been playing The Sims Wasteland Edition.
Which is part of Fallout 4.
Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of Fallout. But from a board game perspective, we played Power Grid a couple times.
We played Power Grid a couple of times.
And that game is awesome.
We played a new game coming out for the holiday season, which we'll give a fuller review later. It's called Santa's Little Helpers and the Ice Cube Jam.
Yeah, so that game's really good. We didn't even play it ourselves before we played it with the kids, and they picked it up right away. I mean, it's the perfect kind of game where it's like, oh, honey, well, you know, if you do something like this, it'll help you, and here's why. There's nothing hidden when you play, and again, you know, we'll talk about it in more detail later. It's going to make a really great stocking stuffer this year. It's $15. It's a little game. The whole thing fits in a little bag. If you're looking for something to throw in a stocking that's not a piece of candy or something,
it's a cute theme. It's certainly accessible all the way down to age 3 or 4 if they can sit still long enough to play the game. They can manage to muddle through it with some older players.
Yep, but there is kind of, I mean, there's strategy in it.
There's a lot of strategy.
It's not like one of these just dumb luck kind of roll the dice.
It's pretty much all strategy.
But it's multiple levels. You don't, even though there's a lot of strategy in the game, it doesn't seem like the people who don't really understand strategy are left in the dust. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because the game will progress for everybody. But whoever is, you know, kind of got the best strategy will sort of.
Well, it's an open game. There's nothing hidden at all. So no matter how good your strategy is, it's going to be pretty transparent to the people around you.
Yep. So that was a fun game. I like that. Yeah. We played it with some adult friends.
We also played it with some adult friends, yeah.
And they liked it too. So stay tuned for that on thefamilygamers.com.
A more full review, yes.
With pictures and stuff like that. So Power Grid, Santa's Little Helpers, Fallout 4, and Fallout 4.
Yeah. And your favorite iPad game, which is Lords of Waterdeep.
Have I played Lords of Waterdeep? I mean, over the last 2 weeks, I must have. So that's pretty much it for me, I guess.
I inspired by you playing Fallout 4, I picked up again Fallout Shelter.
You've been playing that a lot.
Our iPad seems to be coping with it better now. I think there must have been an update or something. Mm-hmm. It still crashes once in a while, but And that's all. If you say in the middle of Fallout 4 is, you know, the Sims Wasteland Edition, this is basically Sim Tower Fallout Edition. So I enjoy it greatly.
Right, because that game, you
Sim Tower was,
you have a well documented obsession with Sim Tower. So,
yeah, but I've been playing that. I've been playing on a bunch of other little dinky iOS games too. Going back through some of my catalog and replaying a few. But I feel like we played another board game. But I think it's just the fact that we actually got to play board games multiple times that makes me think that, because we
with
played,
adults,
right? Because we played Power Grid multiple times, yep. Mm-hmm. which was good.
Yep, we played it once. Because I borrowed it, and then I bought it.
Yes.
Right away.
Yes.
So, and then Amazon awesome. Had a buy two, get one free sale, and we found two games we liked, but not a third.
But not
we
a third.
Mastermind was on the list.
Yes.
And Battleship was on the list, too. Yes. Those are the two games that we found, but we didn't get a third one.
We didn't find a third one that was equivalent.
Fit yeah. our needs. So, bummer. So, why don't we take an early break so we have lots of time to talk about gifts.
Yes.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about a special deal that we've got going on with Kiwi Crate.
Back.
We are back. So I teased just before the break a special deal that we have going on with Kiwi Crate. So this episode is going to get released on November 16th. That's yes. Monday the 16th. But this deal starts on the 17th.
Tuesday the 17th.
So if you are one of our super favorite listeners downloading this and listening to it right away,
you'll have hold to wait until Tuesday.
But otherwise, there is a deal going on. Starting on the 17th, going through Black Friday on the Kiwi Crate website. If you go to either the Facebook post for this episode or the post on thefamilygamers.com for this episode, there'll be a link right there that'll bring you right to Kiwi Crate. There's even going to be a banner on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Super easy for you to get to. And then starting on the 17th, there's going to be a Black Friday offer where you can get 60% off your first month subscription with code SUB60. So let's talk about Kiwi Crate a little bit. I don't remember last week if we sort of talked about it a little bit. Or I mean,
you've been talking about it a lot to everybody we run into, so I don't know if
we
mentioned
it on the show.
Because
I just love them. I just think they're fantastic. So the crate thing has been around for a couple of years now, and it's become this kind of big popular thing where you pay for a service that will send
a box of themed
goodies,
stuff.
Themed goodies to your house, and you don't really know what's inside.
Right.
Until it gets to your house. So I think the most popular one was probably Loot Crate. That's probably the one that kind of got things going.
Maybe. I mean, there have been a bunch of like food themed ones.
Yeah, there's
like
the Snack Crate, Nature Crate. There's one called the Bark Box, which is like
which
doggy
is for dogs.
Treats
yeah.
and stuff like that.
That's cute.
And this company, Kiwi Crate, I think LLC, has released four different crates depending on age and preference.
Yeah, and there are all sort of arts and crafts and some science in there, too.
Yep. So they have two art crates. There's the koala crate for 3 and 4 year olds. Our 4.5 year old was playing with the koala crate today. So I think it was fine for him. So, you know, you can almost say 3 to 5. And then there's the doodle crate, which is 9 to 16 or, you know, plus. I mean, if you are artistic or enjoy those things, or maybe you're trying to become more artistic.
I would say if you have a kid that really enjoys doing artistic things, but kind of
needs some direction.
Yeah. That's exactly what this is for.
And then they have two science based ones. There's the Kiwi Crate, which is for 5 to 8 year olds, and then there's the Tinker Crate, which mm-hmm. is for 9 to 16 plus, same age range as that dual crate, and so. We have a subscription to Kiwi Crate.
Yes, it was gifted to us.
Our children are 4 and 7.
Yes.
And so they both fit into that. But we reached out to the organization and we got a Koala Crate and a Tinker Crate to check out.
Yes.
We did some unboxing videos actually today that we'll get up on the website for you to check out exactly what is in these things. But these are awesome.
They are cool.
Gifts. They're super cool in general. And I mean, they're like the gift that keeps on giving, right? So yeah. if you pick up a like a 6 month subscription or a 3 month subscription or something like that, they're about $20 a month. If the subscription is longer, it's a little bit less. And you know, every month this crate will arrive at this person's house. And so instead of, you know, I mean, we do this, and a lot of parents do this, where okay, great, Christmas morning you get to open all of your presents, and then like half of them or 60% of them get put away for like a rainy day later or whatever.
Well, those dog days of February when there's nothing to do and you don't want to go outside and
exactly. So something like this is a really great option because you've basically built that into your gift. You know, so you get even if you did just a 3 month subscription, now you're getting three gifts over the course of the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of that joy of discovery and exploration three times instead of once.
Well, I'll take a little rabbit trail here and say that if you are in a position to be giving gifts to children, especially children who are not your own offspring, I highly recommend something that is a subscription based model because it's the gift that just keeps on giving, whether it's a crate thing like Kiwi Crate, or if it's like a magazine subscription, or like a zoo membership or a museum membership or something, because that's a way to say, you know, this is something I know you're interested in. You can have it all year long and remember that I love you.
Right.
Which is pretty great.
And it's awesome. And it's different too. You know, it's not sort of the standard thing, and it shows thought and consideration and things like that for, you know, what maybe those kids would really benefit from.
Yeah.
So we partnered with Kiwi Crate, and you know, there's a special affiliate link in the show post.
Mm-hmm.
And
on our website.
And also on the website. And if you use that code SUB60, SUB60, you'll get 60% off your first month of a subscription, or you can, they've got a shop where you can just kind of buy one-off crates.
Yeah. And those look pretty cool too.
And there's a bunch of stuff in there. You can get 50% off shop orders, which is really awesome.
Well,
with the promo code SHOP50.
We looked around briefly because of this deal. What was your favorite, individual crate?
In the shop, you mean?
Yeah.
They had this one called Space Hero, which I thought was awesome. So in this box, they give you the appropriate materials to make a cape, like a 25-inch cape, so like a 2-foot-long cape, and a mask, and it's called a comet catch. It's basically a ball with like a trail on it, so you kind of throw it and.
Hmm.
It's, you know, it's looks kind of sort of like a comet going through the sky, but
neat.
And it's $20, or if you use that code, it's $10. I mean, it's so inexpensive.
For $10, that's totally worth it.
I mean, I think on like Etsy or something like that, if you were to go get a custom made cape, you're going to be paying that kind of money anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think we actually did that a couple of years ago. So you get the materials, and you know, we've looked through three crates now. The materials are pretty high quality.
They're good quality.
I mean, it's
you
know, it's cost effective for them, so you're not going to pay for a $20 crate and get $70 worth of materials or anything like that. But they're not cheap.
No, it's good stuff. I think my favorite, just from browsing around briefly,
mm-hmm.
was in the seasonal ones. It was a Hanukkah themed.
Aww,
crate.
It's adorable.
It was adorable. They make the kids make a little menorah, and then they have a dreidel craft as well, decorated dreidel with spinning paint stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
the dreidel of paint death, spinning paint dreidel.
So I thought that was really cute. That you know that basically it's even in these mini one off crates, they're tying in sort of the arts and crafts and also, you know, a little bit of sciencey stuff in there as well with like the spinning and
mm-hmm.
and I'm guessing that's what the comet catch thing is in the space one as well.
Yeah,
get a little bit more science in there.
I just think these things are awesome. I mean, it's definitely, you know, our kids have crates now, so it's not an optimal gift for us to give to our own kids. But if it's something that you've even considered, or if this is the first time you're hearing about it, certainly reach out to us on Facebook and we'll tell you what we think. And stay tuned for those unboxing videos because they'll also include some impressions on what some of those crafts kind of how they went
to be afterwards.
Because about half of them are done already. So
yeah. One last thing before we leave this topic, but let me also say that I don't know, you know, all of us have been kids, and when you're a kid, getting mail addressed to you,
it's the coolest thing
ever. It's awesome. And to be able to have it be a package that you then open up and get to do, it just, it's like Christmas morning, whatever time of the year it arrives.
It's even, I mean, it's better to get like a magazine than a letter, and it's even better to get a package than a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
All right. But, you know, I mean, the one downside to a crate-based gift is that there's nothing under the tree on Christmas morning. So,
I suppose that's true. So let's talk about some things you could put under the tree.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at some stuff that, you know, we've talked about and we like. And like I said before, we are not going to talk about video games this week.
We will
talk about them because, I mean, they're a real part of our society and stuff like that. But this week, we're going to talk about non-digital stuff or analog, I guess, gifts. If you could pick three tabletop or board games, dice games, whatever, that are sort of high up on your list of games that would appeal to kids. So obviously, you know, your mileage may vary. Different kids are different. But if you could pick three, what games do you think you would pick?
You mean like games that make good gifts, games that have a pretty universal appeal?
Yep.
Yeah. I think Story Cubes. Gotta say Story Cubes.
Sure. We've talked about Story Cubes before.
Everybody can do Story Cubes.
Yep. So these are
There's nine dice in a package.
They all have custom faces on them.
Yep.
And you roll a subset of them and make up a story.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can play with them all kinds of different ways. But even more than that, if you were thinking about Story Cubes as a gift, they're cheap. They make a pretty good stocking stuffer. You can get them as little as $7 right now on Amazon, apparently.
Yeah, they're so cheap, they're considered an add-on item.
And the thing is that there are at least four or five different sets now. There might be more than that.
They just came out with a Batman set.
Yeah. So you can customize them a little bit depending on the interest of the person you're giving them to. Mm-hmm. So that's my number one pick. Like, if I didn't know much of anything about a person and I was recommending a game for a Christmas gift, that's it, hands down.
They even have a version, the Story Cubes Max, with bigger dice. In case you're afraid that, you know, little kids might find dice and eat them or something.
So. Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. What else besides Story Cubes? I really like, for the older set of folks, a cooperative game. So like Forbidden Island or Forbidden Desert.
Okay.
Really,
yeah, those are great games.
Really like those games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely older kids into adults. But highly enjoyable.
I think
our 7-year-old
can
manage reasonably well, but she gets the board game concept to begin with.
Well, she's stuck with it.
And then going down the other direction, if I was given a gift to a little kid and I wanted to give a board game, I might look for Bug Trails or some other kind of dominoes, but I particularly like Bug Trails.
Okay.
It's unique. You know, it's six-sided dominoes instead of two-sided dominoes. But there's only three colors to match. So it starts off easy, but you can put as much strategy into it as you want.
Okay.
So how about you? What kind of board games would you give?
So I kind of followed a similar philosophy. I wanted a game that had sort of a loose aesthetic to it, where it very much was what you made it out to be. And I chose a game called Robot Turtles.
Mm.
This is a game where basically mom or dad or some other adult-like person would set up a maze basically on this like 12x12 grid.
Mm.
That could include crates, walls, and ice walls. And they're sort of the adjudicator of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And each kid or each player is a turtle. And the way that the goal is to get from their starting point to the jewel of their color, or it could be any jewel that's on the map. It's kind of up to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is by playing cards. There's a turn left card, a go straight card, and a turn right card. And then there's also a shoot your laser card if you're using ice walls to turn them into puddles.
Right.
And so, you know, a regular wall, you can't get through it. A crate, you move into it and it moves.
And you push it. Yeah.
And you push it. And the game was designed to help kids with logical progression. And so in the beginning, you play with, okay, play one card at a time, play one card at a time, play one card at a time. And then you get into like play three cards at once. So it's almost like you're kind of programming a set of moves for your turtle.
Yep.
And then we did something with Claire where I had her quote unquote write her whole program from start to finish. And the thing to remember about this is that once your turtle turns, going straight is different from before it turned.
Right. It's a great combination of a logical progression, the kind of thing you see when you're learning computer programming,
mm-hmm.
With also a spatial awareness.
Yep. Yeah. So it's all about remembering the state that your turtle is in. And there's a lot of visual cues that kind of help.
That can help, yeah.
With stuff like that. Like there's a yellow flower on the left side and a purple flower on the right side. So
yeah,
some color matching.
It's great. Like you said, it teaches a lot of logic, but there's no reading required. Right. And even a kid who messes up their right and their left, you can just remind them, look at the color of the flower. Do you want them to turn towards the purple flower or towards the blue flower?
Yep. And it's a totally freeform game. You can make it as easy or as difficult as you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch. I mean, you can go on the forums for Robot Turtles and get just a ton of sample maps to play,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And it's a really great game because it's not like it's the kid versus the mom or dad, but it's almost like a cooperative thing where, you know, for me, it was dad's putting sort of this challenge down for Claire and then rooting her on as she gets through it. So
yeah.
That was a really fun and a really rewarding game. And then I also went with a cooperative game and I chose Castle Panic.
Mm.
Castle Panic is a super fun game. I think we've talked about it on the show before.
It's a fairly easy cooperative
yep,
game.
Where you're fending off these advancing
orcs
hordes
and trolls and
that are trying
gnomes.
To destroy your castle.
Yeah.
And everybody's working together, so that's pretty good. And then finally, I chose a game called City Square Off. Do you remember City Square Off?
I do. That's a Game Right game.
It is a Game Right game. It's a lot like Cathedral, if you've ever played Cathedral.
Yep.
Basically, everybody, there's sort of a like a 10x10 grid or something like that, and you take turns putting buildings onto this grid. And whichever player is able to put more of their buildings on the grid, wins.
Yeah.
And, again, it's a competitive game, but it's not high stress because,
yeah,
I mean, it's, there's not this deep strategy and all this kind of stuff. You're just kind of putting these,
well, it's open strategy game. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right term
that, okay.
You know, there's a lot of strategy, but you can see everything that's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So that those are the kind of the picks that I had, you know, not, and depending on the personality of the child, it might be a little bit different. You know, there might be maybe some other recommendations and things like that. But
sure.
In terms of some really generic stuff, that's kind of what I went with. Now, you were telling me that you had actually found some all-star toys.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
So, for years and years, since our youngest was just an infant, I have followed this website called Baby Cheapskate, all about finding good deals on baby and kid-related items. Every year, the woman who runs the site compiles a list that she calls the toys that get played with. She breaks them all out by age groups. One-year age groups, or 6 month if you're under 2 years old, I think. And, you know, then releases these lists. These are toys that work well for this age group. Well, apparently in 2015, she went a little bit beyond that and said, here are a few toys that show up consistently in at least three age groups year after year. So these are toys that you can buy them at age, you know, 2 or 3, and your kids will probably still be playing with them at age 8, 9, 10, depending a little bit on the kid. So I'll just go through this briefly. But she's calling these the all-star toys. Train sets. You can start with train sets as young as 1 year old. Kids are still usually playing with them un- until about 4 or 5 years old.
And here's the pro tip on the train set thing, by the way. So the most common popular are the Brio wooden trains or the Thomas wooden trains. Not the plastic ones, the wooden ones.
Right, the wooden ones.
And here's the thing. If you, they're ridiculously expensive. If you go on eBay, you can find lots of like 250 train pieces that are Brio or Thomas or Brio compatible.
Yeah.
For like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And so if you have a child who's kind of getting into the train thing, what I would say is buy one or two new ones for like grand presentation. And then, I mean, this is almost like the wedding cake approach, right?
Yeah.
Where you have the fancy cake out front and you cut the cake, but really there's a sheet cake in the back that's made by the same people.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What you're serving everybody. And that allows you to bone up your collection like super, super fast. You get these quality components. I mean, they're going to last forever.
Yes.
As long as your kids get the thrill of opening the package once or twice,
yeah,
it's not really a big deal if everything else kind of just comes in a big bucket.
Right. Well, and the thing,
and
the thing
so
is
much more cost effective that way.
That you get kind of the gotta catch 'em all fever with the trains themselves, but really, what you need is lots of track, lots and lots of train track. So, eBay's good, Craigslist, yard sales, excellent places to get train track.
Right. But the individual pieces for presentation in brand new is I think really helpful, but the body of the collection can be crowdsourced.
Moving on, another all-star toy is Play Kitchen and Play Food. I can attest to this. We started doing Play Food I think when our oldest was a year old, less than 18 months old. It still gets pulled out and played with on a regular basis.
Blows my mind.
It's pretty awesome. So that's one of those. That one I'd say buy good quality ones, not the super cheapy plastic ones. They will get used. Then there's a couple of brand name stuff here. The Imaginext playsets, anywhere from 3 to 7 years old. The Playmobil playsets, anywhere from 3 or 4 to almost up to 9 years old.
Playmobil, that stuff, I mean, I think that stuff could go through like a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
And it would just, be marginally irradiated. Otherwise, fine.
Yeah. Lego, of course. I mean,
there is so
grown adults
much,
still play with Lego.
So much Lego stuff this year with the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, I did notice when we were in the store earlier today, there is a lot of cool new Lego stuff out. Not just the, shall we say, boy themed Star Wars and superhero and stuff, but they're really still beefing up the girly Legos too. So now there's a Lego Elves.
Yeah, I saw that. It was almost fairy like.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Well, I like that they're keeping the complexity of the Lego now and just shifting it a little bit in the girly direction. But yeah, Legos forever, starting at age 3 or 4, and then just they'll keep them forever.
I'm team Lego.
Yeah. All right. The plasma car.
Okay.
So have you ever heard of this?
No, you mentioned the plasma car earlier. Like, oh yeah, the plasma car. And tell me about this plasma car
thing. The plasma car is a special kind of scooter, bike, play car kind of hybrid. I think it's ages from like about 3 or 4 to about 7, I think. Our kids don't have one, which is why you have no idea.
Okay.
So it's this scooter kind of thing that you sit on. And you put your feet up on it, and then you basically turn your body weight and turn the handle back and forth to get it going. So you're using, like, arm power to get it moving.
Okay.
Just kids love them. Pretty much every other kind of play vehicle out there, you have to use your legs. And there's something about that kids eventually just get kind of tired of. So this one, you don't use your legs.
I think I had something like this when I was a kid, but it was not that nice.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And then just a couple last ones. Magnetiles, Magformers, any of those magnetic building sets seem to have a lot of staying power, apparently.
Okay.
Anywhere from 3 and up. And the last thing on the All-Star Toys list is Hot Wheels, Matchbox, really any kind of small car.
Okay. Yeah, I think in general, I'm a big fan of a lot of the gifts that sort of have bolt-on pieces so that, you know, other members of the family can get something that has to do with, like a Disney Infinity or something like that, but I don't want to get into video games because this is not the video game podcast.
Well, Lego is a great example that you can start real small, and then if they like it, everybody knows Lego, and you can say, yes, I know that my niece likes Legos. I'm gonna get her this girly Lego set, and she's gonna love it. Even if she already has it, oh no, now she has, you know, another little figurine and some more pieces. She can build something more complex. I just want to say quickly, on the All-Star Toys list, there's a couple other things that are not specific toys, but kind of categories of toys.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in the category, but things will change a little bit as a kid ages. So say like art supplies, you know, for a 3-year-old, that's basically crayons.
Mm-hmm. Or those really awesome Crayola, like invisible washable. They only appear on the special paper markers.
Like the Crayola Color Wonder. Actually, it's more than just markers. They do a couple other ones. They do a finger paint the finger paint only shows up on the special paper. So you get kind of goo, but it's like clear goo.
That's really odd.
Yes. it is very odd, but it's still very neat.
Okay.
But yeah, so
until you grow
like
a sixth finger.
For like a young kid, definitely that. But you know, say for like a 9 or 10 year old, you're talking like nice colored pencils and watercolor paints and pastels and stuff like that.
Well, that's actually a thing that's getting super popular this year, is like adult coloring books.
Oh yes. Very popular.
That's, all of a sudden, that's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I guess I know why there's not a Fallout coloring book. It would just be brown. Just brown and brown and brown.
Gray.
Brown and gray.
And gray and
faded,
brown.
Faded blue.
And army green. Yeah. A couple other categories. Dolls are usually popular with girls and dollhouses. Musical instruments. Again, you're generally not going to give a real musical instrument to a 2 or 3 year old.
Unless you hate their parents.
No. Just in general.
Like drums.
Well, even then, like a 2 or 3 year old is generally going to beat up on stuff, you know? So a toy instrument is a better speed because they tend to be more sturdy if slightly less musical.
Sure.
Puzzles. Puzzles are great, you know, starting age 2 or so, up until they get tired of them and they need more and more and more pieces to feel challenged.
I am still not tired of puzzles. I'm 34.
But you're tired of 12-piece puzzles.
Not if you put 100 of them together.
Fair enough, I suppose. And then, like, dress-up clothes, which, again, it is going to depend on the age and size of your kid. So I thought that was really neat. I'll actually put a link to this All-Star Toys thing in the show notes because it in turn links to all of the individual lists of the toys that get played with. So if you're looking for something for a particular age group and you're not really even sure where to start, these lists are great.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, one of the things that I really love about some of the stuff that we talked about earlier, like the crates and all that stuff, is that they're almost like alternate toys. They're not sort of the standard things, but there's a lot of value in having those old reliables to go to, and that's why I think that the All-Star Toys is a great baseline from which to start to look at some of this stuff. That's pretty much it for us this week. Don't forget to check out, starting on Tuesday, those crates.
The Kiwi crates.
Kiwi crates. Yep. The Kiwi crate, Doodle crate, the Koala crate. You can check them all out at kiwicrate.com. And then at the top, there's a bunch of tabs. If you just go to our website, thefamilygamers.com, there's a banner that you can click on that'll bring you right to them so you can take a look that way.
One last thing about the Kiwi crate website in general, they also have a ton of DIY ideas on there for crafts and baking and all kinds of stuff. I guess their idea is sent in by their subscribers, but, you know, well put together. And, you know, if the crates seem just a little too much for you or a little too expensive, just not the right fit, I urge you to go look at that list of DIY stuff.
Well, I mean, there's something in the shop for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, we do have those codes. So if you want to get 60% off your first month on a subscription, use code SUB60 or 50% off a shop order. So if you just wanted to buy one crate or two crates and not actually go and do a subscription, you could just buy those right through the shop and then get half off with the code SHOP50. So go to our website, familygamers.com, click on that banner. It's going to be on the right side, and get shopping for Christmas.
Yeah.
You can be done real fast. You can be done this week.
Sounds good to me.
I like the idea. So, all right, Anitra, where can we be found?
You can find us at our website, thefamilygamers.com.
Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Facebook.
Yep.
Facebook.com/familygamersAA.
What about Twitter?
Twitter.com/familygamersAA.
And we have email. You are Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
You are Anitra, A-N-I-T-R-A, @thefamilygamers.com.
Please check out our show on iTunes. Please, please, please leave us a review.
Yeah, it's really obnoxiously important how critical those reviews are on iTunes. They really do help push us up so that other people will find us, and then we get cooler stuff to give away to you. That reminds me, we do have a giveaway. If you are listening to this on Monday, you do have until midnight tonight to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/flaminggamersAA. And click on the contest post that's pinned at the top and leave a comment about some maze-related story in your life.
And you could win a copy of Maze Racers.
We
will announce the winner next week.
Yes, we will announce the winner next week. We'll know early, but we'll announce it next week.
Yep.
So, check us out on iTunes. Please leave us a review there. And hopefully next week we will be able to connect with our friend from Ubisoft.
And talk more about video games.
Video games that you could give
for
as
Christmas,
gifts. Or video game related things.
Hanukkah.
For your holiday season.
Yes.
All right. So, until next week.
Play games with your kids.